When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First hand hit to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot!
Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Try and place it! Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella! Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason!
Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward.
Oh wow, what a run! Heung-min Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career!
Hello there. Welcome to another New Spurs Order pod. I'll be your host tonight, Expat. I've almost set off in the tone as if to say I just want to get through this straight away. Joined tonight by, so far tonight anyway, by Sting. I think you're back-to-back now for pods. How are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very apathetic. All I want to say is Tottenham get battered everywhere we go. Tottenham get battered everywhere we go. I got the energy to sing at this time fully, but yeah, we get battered everywhere we go. So yeah, that's how I feel about us right now.
Embracing the hate, fair enough, man. It's kind of got to that point at the moment. I saw a tweet from a neutral fan, quite a famous fan, HLTCO, saying Tottenham fans, like, no more fans hate their club more than their own, like Tottenham, something like that, to paraphrase him a bit. But yeah, it's a dire situation. Obviously, we've played two games since the recording of the last pod. We've come off the loss of North London Derby at home, where obviously we were set up very, very poorly, left ourselves exposed. Ultimately ended up being a mistake which set us back in the first place, and we never really got to look to claw it back. And yeah, there was a second half where we had sustained styles of pressure, etc. But obviously being 2-0 down, I think Arsenal just took their foot off the gas, to be honest. And Conte came out after the game and said, okay, yeah, we played well, Ramsdale was man of the match. Yeah, that guy, I'm not even sure where his head state is right now, but we'll get into it. Played Manchester City last night at the time of recording, which was an intense, entertaining game to say the least. So given coming off the back of the Arsenal game, Jack, were you confident going into it, and what changes would you have liked to see to the lineup?
I mean, for those that saw the last week's pod, we were not confident at all. We were very, very much saying it's a big L, it's an L, nothing else really. There was absolutely zero confidence within the team for. I don't even know anymore. I just don't know what to say about this team anymore, to be honest. But yeah, there was absolutely no confidence whatsoever going into this game, especially with the way Conte sort of normally sets up anyway. And I think that, yeah, I thought maybe the fans, the atmosphere could have a slight impact, but I felt we treated it like a derby, whereas Arsenal treated it like a training sesh. And I think that was the difference. One was well-drilled and had all the quality in the world. The other, I don't even know what to say.
Was it this time last year that you had that kind of semi-viral tweet where you were saying about how you hated every single football player at this club?
Oh, yeah, that was the summer window 2021 where I wanted it to get so bad where I wanted these guys to... I wanted these guys to fail miserably so that we can have a massive reset at the club, basically. And you know,
do you feel more disconnected to the team now or then?
Conte gave me hope. So I'd say I feel just as disconnected, to be honest. But you know what you dumb Spurs fans are like, right? They took it out of context and thought, oh, I'm not a proper fan. You know, you want the club to lose. You don't want the club to win. What's all this? Listen, you know, there's greater things at hand. There's much bigger long-term things that are going on. And that, you know, that was my thinking of that tweet. But anyway, yeah. How do you feel about the club right now?
Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm usually a bit more of an optimist, to be honest. I almost don't know what to make of it, but it's quite clear there's just no alignment or little to no alignment between obviously the board, the club, the manager to the players. And it all seems to just be this messy go-around where the players don't know if they're coming and going. Like there's obviously it was this time last year or last season, however you want to word it, where Conte almost just kept on threatening to go. And that kind of seemed to motivate the players to just be like, all right, we need to sort our lives out and get a fucking grip, for lack of a better word or term. So this season, it seems to be having more of an opposite effect. Like it's more uninspiring again when your manager, who actually doesn't seem to be calling the players out in press conferences really, but still refusing to commit to the future of the club unless he sees backing from the boardroom. Then you've got that boardroom back and forth where, well, we need to see commitment from you so we know we can back you with players, which we know is going to be sustainable for a little while past, like even your tenure, even if you were to stay for like another year, 2 years, 3 years. Like we are a club which obviously are earning quite a lot of money, but still cannot afford misses, literally cannot afford misses when it comes to the transfer market. So I kind of get that angle, as frustrating as it is for Conte and for us as fans to want what are clear and obvious upgrades to the team. But there's just this like ooming and ahhing about the contingency plan going forward, just even past this season. Like we're kind of wording it in a way sometimes where, oh, we just want to know what the long-term plan is, where that kind of gives you an impression that, oh, we're looking like 2-3 years. No, we're just looking past like the rest of the season and the little way past it, where that short-term future is as unclear as a longer-term future, to be honest. And then you've got Kane, who I know he divides a lot of opinion on our podcast anyway, but there's a thing with him where we don't know if he's coming or going. And then generally, yeah. I just feel like there's a general lack of clarity and direction. although there has been a slight little bit of clarity today with a certain call decision, which we'll get into a little bit later. But I'm feeling uninspired, and even like I was saying earlier, me being a little bit more of an optimist than others, like a lot of yourselves, like when we were going 1-2-0 up against City last night, I kind of, like, I didn't necessarily cheer the goals. I was in the in a state of shock. Even it was more of a pleasant surprise, even though we seem to just do this to City most seasons. But I wasn't confident going into that game, and it's weird to celebrate kind of short-term successes and wins when we're so uncertain about what's going to happen in the next few weeks and months, let alone the contingency plan for the club going into like next season and the season beyond. So, I feel a little bit lost as well, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, we know what Enoch and Levy and what have you, that we always had some kind of sort of identity under some kind of direction under their sort of stewardship. But you know, I think up until obviously we all know, we all talk about this on our group chat, but up until Potter's sacking, we've just deviated massively away from that. It's just completely gone awry into a half-assed plan here and a half-assed short-term plan here, there. Obviously, no structure at all, no cohesion in, and like you said, alignment in the philosophy and the mindset of the club as to what the strategy is in the long term, even the medium term. And, you know, for me, this win now, managers hiring, it works for some clubs. It works for clubs where there's massive amounts of pressure. And I think even like clubs like Liverpool, who hadn't won a trophy for a number of years before Klopp arrived, right, and during Klopp's first couple seasons as well, that pressure that club brings, that the aura that the fans provide and the atmosphere, it's a big thing. It's a big thing to in regards to the players as well. And I think those win now managers work at those types of clubs. We're not that club yet. We have to crawl before we walk, basically. And we have to get to a position where we organically, unless we have some Middle Eastern owner taking us over and providing with the best infrastructure in the world, we need to have some kind of we've already had relative success organically. Now we need to have actual success organically and then build from that to be a regular trophy winning team. And we're just going. Yeah, there's no direction at all, as we've repeated multiple times. So, yeah, I don't want this to be, an all Enoch Levy conversation, but yeah, it's just hard to not talk about it.
Yeah, especially while the transfer window is open, right? And we've still got like 10, 11 days, depending on when you're listening to this. I think it's 9 days from when you're listening. I'll introduce Goldberg in, but before, obviously, he has a say, obviously, going into the City game, there was a lot of talk on Conte and obviously his adaptability. A lot of people even saying he should just change his formation completely. What were your initial thoughts on that? Because like I can't even lie, I'm not the biggest fan of that per se. I don't think that's the answer personally.
No, and I don't think Conte been very successful if he's sort of implying a back four. He's not been successful at that, and we've seen it. I know it was a number of years ago. It was, what, 5-6 years ago now? But, when he switched it up after that Arsenal game where he lost 3-1 at the Emirates in his first season at Chelsea, the back four just didn't work for him at all. And he has to, again, adapt to the opposition. But, again, I always look at managers, the top, upper echelon managers, they are married to their philosophy, basically. They'll live and die by it. And it's a blessing and a curse. And I think that you have to take the good with the bad with these managers. And unfortunately, we've just got the bad.
Antonio. Goldberg, welcome. Fresh off the big six. I don't know if you got a battering on there or not, but yeah, general feelings on Conte just going into the City game at the minute. Without repeating yourself, I guess, too much, what are your general thoughts at that moment in time?
What, before we played City or?
Yeah, just going into the City game, obviously fresh off the Arsenal game. A lot of criticism going Conte's way. Obviously, yeah. Some of the players' ways as well.
Yeah, I just feel like he's just called it a day, really. I think he's fed up with the bozos and the crazy errors that he's seen on the football pitch. But I also think he's been quite shit as our manager, if we are being honest with ourselves, over the course of this season. I feel like he's made a mess of the campaign in terms of the things that are within his control. I think his use of the squad has been appalling. I think the style of play has been really poor for the majority of the season. I think he's not really been able to sort of outwit or outfox his opponent. We're seeing that more and more these days, and when I see that more and more, that to me doesn't say that, oh wow, Conte is not a good manager. It's to me, it says that you just don't really care about what you need to do to make sure that the team can play better and can get an advantage over our opponent. You just want to make sure that your system is the one thing that's prevalent. You want to make sure that your system is the one thing that's constant, but you don't want to change it. You don't want to tweak it. You don't want to do anything. You just want to keep playing it and hoping for different results. So if I'm being honest, I think Conte's been shit. I think he's been shit this season. Let's just call it what it is. He's been shit. I've given him the time. I've tried to be patient. I've said, yeah, it's going to get better. Performances are going to get better. Oh, this player's been injured. That player's been injured. He's not been able to do this. He's not been able to do that. He's not had the full fit team that he wants available. He's not had the centre-backs he wanted in the summer. He's not had the right wing-back he wanted. Those things are true. Yes, they are all true. But with what he's been given, he has not maximized that to the best of his ability. He had a worse squad last year and he had the team playing better. He has a better squad this season and has the team playing worse. Has the team winning less games? Has the team accumulating less points at this stage of the season?
And I'd say that
was a good point. Yeah. Obviously, going into the City game as well, like it was a little stat that came up. We had like 2 or 3 points worse off after the same amount of games last season. And this is following a Nuno stint as well. So nothing I even expected going into this season, to be honest. Like I thought we'd probably struggle playing 2 games a week, especially with that schedule going into the World Cup. But obviously, we gave him the benefit of the doubt. We've got some of our players back from injury. We're out of the World Cup. Still looks pretty uninspiring. Sorry, Jack, you were going to...
No, I was just saying about the not caring thing. And I think Conte is a man that's driven. He said it a lot before, that he's driven by emotion and that sort of percolates onto the team as well. But I think, again, when it's good, it's great. But when it's not good, it hinders the team massively, and I think that can play a part in the not caring. I think a lot of the sort of emotion gets in the way of his actual thought and sort of tactical insight of the game, probably, and we're seeing that in the team. But I'm not going to put the majority of the blame personally on the manager. I'll always go to the root cause and the common denominator, and that is the players, and that is caused by a lack of strategy above.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And we still obviously got a few recycled bad performances within the team from players which are still starting games. Namely, Lloris, bless him. Heung-min Son, who some had hoped he'd actually pick up form after the World Cup. And a certain Viking as well, who I'd actually been defending at the start of this year. I thought he actually still started the season quite well, but for whatever reason, he just seems to be getting worse and worse. And he doesn't ever, not even does he get dropped from the starting lineup, he never really gets taken off to be subbed off for someone with, just a bit more energy, a bit more bravery, a bit less throwing your arms around and letting people bypass you. It's a strange thing, but I guess he's got that mentality monster thing in him, which I guess Conte likes, and even that, I don't know, it's still like what we were talking about earlier, Jack, where Conte's uncertainty and wanting to be backed and almost Danny Tools to an extent transmits to the players. They're uninspired, where I think him threatening to leave did inspire them last year. And when there's any kind of adversity, the players and Conte have both just been folding every single time. And I say I don't want to overanalyze the City game too much because, I mean, it's pretty obvious how it played out. I thought we... And this is, annoyingly, a City team who I was even saying at the time in the group chat were not looking good at all. Like, there was a lot of changes made by Pep. They looked very disjointed. They didn't look like a threat to me in the first half, really.
At all.
Which, you know, that explains some of the mistakes they made. And obviously, just to skip to the end of the game, they didn't even bring on any of these, like, really big subs until late in the game anyway. Like, Bernardo Silva came on late. I don't even think Kevin De Bruyne or Phil Foden came on. If they did, it would have been super late, but they didn't need them to get back into the game. So, as I guess you've just joined, how did you kind of just see that game play out?
Man City's or ours?
Spurs v Man City in the game in total.
We just did what we do best this season, which is just fuck up a good thing, honestly. We took the lead under fortuitous circumstances anyway, but I do actually agree. I didn't really think there was much in between both sides in the first half. I felt defensively actually looked relatively solid. I had some decent passages of play. Didn't really threaten Man City enough, but I don't think they threatened us enough as well, which is a bit odd considering we're playing away to Man City, meant to be one of probably the best, arguably the best side in the world. And it didn't feel like it for the first half. But yeah, I felt like we took the lead under fortuitous circumstances. Horrible mistake from Edison and good awareness from Emerson, to be fair to him, for the second goal. But I was shocked that Spurs were going into that game, into that half 2-0 up, because I was like, where the hell did this come from? But we do what we did best. Or we do what we have done best over the past couple of weeks, which is just capitulate, right? Normally, we start off shit and then we try and bounce back and throw all our energy in the second half. This time, it was in reverse. We did all right in the first half and we said, you know what, this is too normal for this Spurs, this version of Spurs. So let's show people what we're really made of. And then you saw the real Spurs in the second half. I mean, the goals that we conceded, my goodness, the lack of desire to actually follow runners, the mistakes, the tomfoolery across the back line. It was just an absolute joke. Like, oh God, Perisic, listen, he's probably been one of the few players this season that have actually not been too bad. I don't think he's been awful, but he's not exactly been immense either. And that Man City game, he was possibly the worst player on the pitch, followed by Lloris. Like, he was awful. Culpable for 3 goals. Lloris. Listen, man.
3 goals, you think? I was thinking, bro. Two, but I mean,
the first goal he gets beat. Listen, let me just caveat this by saying this is a 33-year-old Perisic up against Riyad Mahrez. Like, I wouldn't even expect a 29-year-old Perisic playing wing back to be able to cope with Mahrez, but it's 33, he's up against Mahrez, fair. So maybe I'm a bit too harsh for the first goal because Mahrez beats him too easily on the outside, puts a cross in. And when that cross goes in, there's like 3-4 players that can just get rid of that ball. How the fuck does that ball end up in the back of the net? How? Lloris missed it. Dier missed it. I can't even remember who else missed it. How does that ball end up in the back of the net? And then the second one is just like, forget about age. It's just the lack of desire, man. Like, Mahrez plays the ball to Rodri. I think Rodri dinks the ball over the top.
Mahrez flicks it on, wins a header.
Perisic can see Mahrez. He can see the run Mahrez wants to make. As a defender, you come across it and you just headed the ball away. He just shows Mahrez goal side. And I said this in the Big Six, I've never seen Riyad Mahrez win a contested header. He lets Mahrez win a header. Mahrez, when have you seen Mahrez contest for a header and win? He lets Mahrez beat him in the air, which lays it on a plate for Haaland. And then the third goal, fucking hell, man. He completely miskicks the ball. Completely miskicks the ball. He's on the back foot. Mahrez goes in behind. And then Lloris, man. I know it takes deflection, but Lloris, man.
And then the fourth goal. In the post-match, well, it wasn't the press conference or whatever, but he was interviewed afterwards. And he was basically saying about how the deflections have been unlucky, and I think, you know, this criticism about, he was kind of suggesting the criticism about his form is a bit overstated and harsh, but he just doesn't look confident. Although I actually thought he looked like more confident on the ball yesterday, and I felt kind of assured, but as soon as that second half started and he played his part in that first goal, that was it. Everything just kind of fell apart again.
And then the fourth goal as well. I mean, Longley, I've actually given him some credit this season because he's actually been good for the most part. And at worst, he's been culpable for being flat-footed, right? I don't think I've seen any boneheaded mistakes from Longley. And then typical Spurs. There's the Longley that I knew from Barcelona. He just rears his ugly head.
I warned everyone, man.
Everyone knew, man.
You know what's crazy? I saw people say, keep Longley next season. And I said, okay, you know what? This guy's done a job, but why would you want to keep him? The type of defender he is, you can't really play with a high line. He'll get killed. He's so slow. He's so flat-footed. And I don't want to go in too much on him because he came on as a sub, right? But that goal was just, I don't know, man.
It's kind of funny. Like Conte was speaking afterwards about like experienced players don't concede four goals, whereas like Perisic was getting cooked for two of the three goals, and he brings on Longley, who's still really experienced. Still, he's not like old, right? But he's still experienced, and he makes the glaring error where I didn't actually expect us to get back into it and make it 3-3, but we were on the front foot for the last like 10-15 minutes of that game and had long spells of possession and looked to try and actually create something, and then just that little moment killed the game.
Yeah, I think in that actual game the approach was right, yeah. But yeah, you, what can you do, man? What can you do? It talks about experienced players as well. I mean, Dyer's also experienced. A lot of these men are experienced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lloris as well. Like
Hologram Hugo is what was the expression says. Just.
Yeah, and Hologram Hugo. That's good. That's a proper moment.
I don't rate Fraser falsely either, but I think you got to send a message out. Just put him on. Just get. I don't know. I think Lloris just needs to be, dropped. He just needs to be taken out of the limelight. Just play four-star. Just
100%. Another experienced player, which we've signed in for purpose. So we've got to use it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't exactly fill me with confidence either. But even before the City game, I was thinking to myself, I think I said in the group as well, like, I think it's less about age for Hugo, to be honest. And I don't know if you guys agree, but to me, he just seemed mentally burnt out, and then he alluded to it after the Man City game. So,
he's done.
Yeah, either way,
mental fatigue. He's just done, man. He's cooked. He's cooked.
He's accelerating his decline majorly. Like,
yeah, he's cooked.
It's not to say he wasn't on one anyway, but he's 36. Like, fast forward.
Yeah, he's always been a bozo anyway, but I think, yeah, the alcohol is exacerbating it all. He is finito, man. He is absolutely in the pits of hell, man.
Yeah, he's been our own nightcap at the moment. We'll see. We'll see. We got favourable-ish games next, like games which could be suited to Fraser Forster.
You think we're going to beat Fulham?
I think it's away. Favourable.
Away as well.
It's much more favourable than playing Arsenal or Man City. Yeah. And it's a team where we actually put in a good body of work performance against in the reverse fixture.
We did pan them in the first game, yeah.
And we are playing better away from home than at home at the moment. Oh. So I'm not confident, but I still expect 3 points, if that still makes sense. I'm not confident in a great performance, but with Bentancur obviously coming back now, we've still got Romero and Kulusevski back in the team. I'm not even sure on what Mitrovic's fitness is. Like, I saw Carlos Vinicius doing bits against Chelsea. So, yeah, there's...
it's written in the stars, isn't it?
I can see it.
It's written in the stars.
Even Gogeta. Gogeta in this as well.
The little Mbappe celebration like that. Head tilt. front of the away fans. Oh, man.
That was you in City's fourth goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Listen, I was jumping in my living room when Mahrez scored that.
Mahrez sealed it.
When Mahrez took the lead.
You're a disgrace.
I was singing Tottenham get battered everywhere we go then. Oh, listen,
that's what we sing away from home, to be fair. I remember when we were beating Palace 4-0, we were singing Tottenham get battered everywhere we go.
In an ironic manner. This wasn't in an ironic manner, boy. This is from the heart. This is sincere.
Fair enough. But yeah, we lost that game 4-2. Poor performers all around. I think individual errors pretty much cost us again. So we're going into the last 9 days of a transfer window, and a lot of people have been, obviously, for very good reason, bemoaning the lack of clarity and communication with what's going on at Spurs, with Conte, with the transfer strategy, with the club strategy in general. And then we had some interesting news come out today. Like, it was kind of reported earlier on in the day that the prosecutors are looking to ban Paratici for 2 years or 20 months or something like that. And then, it came out only 2 hours before we started recording this, that he's been sentenced for 2.5 years from...
Guess who's going to jail tonight? Guess who's going to jail tonight? Guess who's going to jail tonight? God gonna post his bail tonight.
Yeah, we already got, you know, we've already got a pod title of Sai. Sai's already said it in the chat row. Styles Paratici. Styles Paratici.
Styles, yeah, okay, I like that. I didn't even see that in the chat earlier. I must have been doing my power nap.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of judge has been put on us, but it's not just the footballing, it's everything. It's
so selfish that they announced this during the transfer window as well, after hearing nothing for ages. And then we're trying to get some of these deals apparently done, deals like Porro and Zaniolo, who Paratici has pretty much had a crush on for 2-3 years, and now he's in jail and he can't even sign players
or thank God.
Deal with players in Italy, I don't think. It's weird what will happen now. I don't know what happened, if he's going to be able to appeal the decision, if that ban's going to stretch over to English football, UEFA, FIFA, which I think they're looking to do, but it hasn't been officially done yet. What happens from here? What actually happens from here?
I think we know what happens from here. I think we go back to leaving, doing the negotiations, extra faffing around. Yeah, I think he peaked at Kulu and Bentancur, but then,
Romero as well.
Romero, yeah, but even Romero's looking a bit, I'm looking at him sideways, but...
Even when you question Paratici's player ID or manager ID at times, I still respect the urgency in which he seems to get deals done. Like you just said, apart from the Romero one, but he seems to get into negotiations and seal a deal quite quickly. Now we're like seeing the haggling over Pedro Porro, which has been going on for nearly like 2 weeks now. And it does smell a lot of kind of Levy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Dealership, if that's a good term, and it explains it because Paratici's in football jail.
Embarrassing.
Like I don't even know if Conte. I think I'm not even sure if that's the final nail in the coffin for Conte. Even like I'm not saying they're like boys, but they seem to have a good working professional relationship and. Paratici looked like he kind of shared like the kind of type of play he wanted and was still urgent in getting him backed by the club. Yeah, it's just such a Tottenham thing to happen.
They're just a mess.
Although,
just a mess.
Apparently, we hired this a chief scout in August, so maybe he actually saw this coming and brought this guy in as a contingency plan. But we hired a head scout in August by the name of, I've got it written down here somewhere, Leandro Gabanini of the Pozzo group, the Italian guy, you know.
who
Okay.
I think he used to work with Watford and he got signed from Watford. Somewhere else. Leandro Gabanini, exactly an Italian head scout.
Did he get relegated?
Let's sign Watford level players now.
The Watford now, obviously. Door of managers as well, which we could end up having in the next few months and years.
Right, we'll end up with Walter Mazzarri as well. At some point, I can see it.
Fucking hell,
Steve
man.
Baldwin was Italian. Fucking hell,
we actually stink, man. Jesus Christ, we reek big time. But I just the whole Paratici thing is it's just a shambles, man. I saw a tweet going around today of like. List of Tottenham 50 most like nonsense moments, right? And they Paratici's one shot straight up to number two. And I think number one was Lasagna Gate. Number three was us getting beat 3-0 by a team when we were 2-0 up when the manager was in prison. It's just
Zagreb, mate.
Bro, I've actually had a headache. I got a headache just mentioning it, bro.
It's a 3-0
yeah,
down.
Yeah, for those listening, we've got Tobes just popping pills on stream. This is what the club are doing to him.
This is why we're up. We can't sleep. We're losing sleep over this dumb club.
Yeah, 23:45 p.m. at the time of recording.
On a Friday night.
Come
That's
on,
crazy.
Man.
Thank you,
Spurs. That's absolutely crazy. It's ridiculous.
It would be kind of ironic, though, if we were actually to start actually signing players in January while a director of football is in jail.
Well, what happened to the with the potential Zaniolo deal now? Because if he can't deal with Italy, does someone else take over the move? Or like, how does it work?
Probably. So, like, I still wonder if he was preparing in the summer. So obviously we not only hired that Chief Scott, he got that Greta Steinsen guy as well, who was meant to kind of work hand in hand with Paratici. And I haven't heard anything from him either. Maybe he's going to do this kind of end of transfer club video to the fans, or Paratici might even do it from Sicily or something. Like, I have no idea. Maybe the club will speak on it tomorrow. I'm sure Conte will probably get asked about it again before the Fulham game. I know he did his press conference today, but yeah, I'm sure it'll come up at some point, and then Conte will bemoan the lack of communication from the club again. Yeah, we can go around in more circles. Going into Fulham and Preston, what do we need to do? And what changes do we need to
win
to get some fucking kind of
win.
Short-term
That's what we need to do.
Results?
We need
what
to
do
fucking
we need to do
win.
To win?
Win!
I want to see Richarlison in as well.
Conte needs
how
to...
do we win with people who can't score and goalkeepers which make mistakes?
I want to see Son dropped. I want to see Højbjerg dropped. I would say I want to see Lloris. Højbjerg.
That's all I wanted you to say.
My Viking.
That's my guy, but he stinks right now, man. He fucking reeks, man. He's playing so shit. Just running all over the pitch, doing a whole bunch of nothing, man. I would like to see him. I'd like to see a midfield three of Bissouma, six, Bentancur, and maybe like a Pape Mate Sarr or something like that. Or even like you said, Owen, a tucked in Kulusevski, for instance. Like, I want to see something different, man. I would ditch the three at the back altogether because I don't like seeing three. Genuinely, I would. I don't like seeing three centre backs doing a whole bunch of nothing. But
I don't see how that works. Though, do we have the full backs to play four at the back?
Yeah, maybe not on the left hand side, but on the right hand side, he just won't play him.
So. Yeah, because it could end up being Ben Davies and Emerson Royale as our fullbacks.
Oh,
fucking hell, Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
But I've got to say, I thought Kulusevski was tucking in quite a lot against Man City, so who knows if he can do that again.
There is a sort of, in terms of sort of off the ball, on the wall, whatever, understanding between him and Royale, but that's not enough because Chicken Royale's end product is...
He's shit.
It's in the pitch.
Oh, he was probably one of the better players against Man City, I'll be real.
The runs being made were good.
What does that say?
Yeah. Yeah. But also, you got to think about, you know, same thing with the back four. Two Bozo centre-backs is better than three Bozo centre-backs, isn't it? I think. But... It doesn't. Again, no difference, mate, because Ryan Sessegnon's going to be the only actual left-back we got, and...
I want to see Bissouma and Bentancur. That's what I want to see.
Bissouma, Bentancur, Kulu, and tucked in, that sort of thing.
Yep. Richie on the left, Kane up top. I want Perisic to keep his spot. I know he was shocking, but I just can't stand Cesc, man. I think he's awful, man. I think he's so bad.
Oh, he's terrible. Why not Perisic as a forward?
Because we've got forwards.
Do we?
Like, I could actually hear it when we had injuries to, like, Richarlison, Son, Kulusevski throughout the season. We've been lucky that Kane's kind of been fit from injury, but...
We don't have injuries for Son, but I'd still rather have Perisic up there right now than Son any day of the week. We saw at the
I'm
World
still
Cup...
I'm still willing
he was
to play Perisic at wing-back, but... We've got to accept, and Conte's got to accept, he can only really play Perisic at wing-back when we're going to have sustained spells of possession against a certain side. Like, agreed. If you're going to play a bigger team who are going to have more of the possession, he's not going to help you get in the game. He it's quite clear now, he just doesn't have the legs, and he's not good enough offensively either.
No, he's not. But I think right now you play him as a forward because we just don't have that different level of defensive cover, or adequate cover, and that
I'll tell you
on that side.
If he had scored that chance at 2-2 v City, then I'd definitely hear it. I don't know how he missed that.
No, but we know he's a good forward. We know he's a good forward. We've seen it. We've seen it recently in the World Cup as well.
Italian Cup final this time. Well, at the end of last season, he cleaned cards for them.
Would you not start Fraser Forster? Would you start Fraser Forster?
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Out of principle.
No, that's fair. I think he does need to be. I think you're right. On quality, Forster scares the fuck out of me. But I think just because of how bad Lloris is playing, he can't just keep doing what he's doing and keep his spot.
He can't be captain as well. You can't go back into a changing room as a captain and have something to say after making those mistakes. You can't do that.
So what we went to do, we went to strip him of his captaincy.
Yeah.
Mid-season.
He needs to hold that.
That's not the story, because he's actually costing the team goals every game. What is he saying to these guys at halftime? Because if he's shouting at them in these French, you know his, guys, it's fucking weird. Like you see in the documentary, he was shouting because he's actually quite vocal. So I'm like, how are these guys meant to take you in when you're just literally throwing the ball into our own net?
Now I see why Son wanted to punch him up in that documentary, man. Now I see it, man. He should have done it. But I also see why Lloris wanted to punch up Son. Yeah.
Them two are overdue a fight. They just need to fight now. They're both underperforming drastically.
It's like watching, I don't know, Chisora versus Audley Harrison, man. Two bozos in the ring just scrapping out.
Fucking hell, I forgot about Audley Harrison. My God.
Yeah, we stink right now, man. I'll be real. So you asked me what we need to do. Bro, just drop the people who are playing horribly bad. Sorry. Drop the people that are playing horribly bad and change your instruction for the team, man. Go at Fulham. Get Kulusevski a bit more inverted, just so we don't get outnumbered in the middle. And just win. Fucking win. We have a squad capable enough to go to beat Fulham, but despite that, the team are playing so poorly that I can't see Spurs going there and winning now. We should, but I don't think we are.
And Jack, are you expecting us to get wins from both these games? Obviously, Preston.
That's a banana peel. I'll tell you that for free as well, Preston. That's a big banana peel.
You saw the way we played against Portsmouth as well. We were comfortable on the ball, but we weren't good. We weren't good at all. And yeah, I don't see us ever winning ever again, to be honest. I can't. Listen, there's no light. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's absolutely none.
I mean, we've got a bit of a respite. I think it's 5 days between Fulham and Preston, and then it's another
Man five. City.
Actually, no, it's like another week before City as well. So we can afford to play some of like the you know higher profile players versus Fulham versus Preston to get a result. Obviously, it's a cup which we need to kind of take seriously now because I think the league's almost a write off. In terms of finishing fourth anyway, I just don't think we can prioritise it over cup competitions, which we're still in.
But when are we going to win the cup, though? Like, do we even stand a chance?
I think FA Cup's quite open this year, I can't lie. It's not as much confidence the one as our own team,
You're right, it is open, but are we the one that are going to seize this opportunity?
I look at our manager, who's a league title winning manager. He's not necessarily a cup competition guy. And in those one-off games where, you know, you need to have a particular approach rather than sort of marry your philosophy every game. Yeah, he's not going to adapt as well. And yeah, we don't have the minerals either way. You know, if we're struggling against Aston Villa at home, you know, how do you expect us to progress in the league as well? Portsmouth at home, again, toothless, scored the goal. Absolutely brilliant goal, but absolutely still look pretty toothless in the entire 90 minutes. Yeah, we can scrape through, you know, games against minnows, but yeah, come up against decent, it's not going to happen. So I think we can write that one off
and we can start wrapping this up. We've got a question here from Jay Ashraf. He's actually directed this towards me, but I'll probably put it across to the panel. Do you see Conte walking out 1st of February? What a time that would be. Or ride it out until the end of the season, totally broken and demotivated, which he did look like in his press conference earlier. Like he looked like he had done 15 rounds with Aldi Harrison. If I was to put my kind of neck out now, I needed today just to see what the fallout from Paratici looked like. But if I'm to put my neck out now, I'm going to say no, he doesn't walk, only because I saw what I believe to be a bit more urgency in some of our transfer targets, and it looked like there had been some movement being made there before the Paratici news today. So I'll just say based on that,
I didn't see anything.
What urgency?
Just further talks with Pedro Porro and further talks.
His release clause is 39 million.
Zaniolo didn't get selected today or yesterday either, or something like that. And I don't even want Zaniolo, to be honest. But I mean, if it's a player which has been identified as someone that the club and Conte and Paratici want, then by all means, get your targets.
I think he's good. His output is what annoys me and worries me, because it's like, bruh, I know he's had his mad injury issues as well, so he needs time to get back to what he sees as 100%. But bro, come on, be a bit more efficient, please. But the talent is there, man. He's 23 years old. He's strong. He's a good ball carrier. He's powerful. He's versatile. Can play through the middle. Can play out wide. I don't think that's a bad signing for Spurs.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too sure on how powerful he is now. And I just get the impression with the type of player he is, I feel like he needs to feel like the guy in the team, where he definitely wouldn't even be at Spurs.
He
needs to be the guy which the team feeds most of the play through, and he can make stuff happen. I'm just thinking
why we're looking at him when we need centre-backs.
Because of Lucas Moura.
I've got nothing against the guy. I think he's good, but why are we looking to sign another player to play in Kulu's position when our defence is literally bleeding?
Literally, the kitchen's on fire, but we're cleaning the bathroom. Like, that's... the priorities are just all over the place, man. Honestly, it's a shambles. Like, Zaniolo he's a good player, but he's not that good to be going, okay, even though we've got problems at the back, we need to get this guy in. That's not... He doesn't move that many people either. Also, the issues that we've had with injuries, with players sort of being in and out of the team and not picking up form, we're going to run into that again with him, to be honest. So, I don't see the point. I don't see the point in being in for him, because, yeah. And also, I don't want to sign another player from Roma, man. I remember Lamella. Listen, shamefully, I had stocks in Lamella, man.
Fucking hell, you're shit.
After that first ball roll at the Emirates, I was like, nah.
From the first ball roll, you know, that fucking hell. If you were both to put in next and now, what do you think Conte is going to do?
He's going to leave. He's going to leave, or he's going to get sacked. Whichever side breaks first. If he's about his money, so I don't think he's gonna walk out on 15 million a year contract, right? I can't remember how much that equates to per week, something maybe like 300 bags a week. He's not walking out on that. He's gonna see that through until the end of the season, even if it means he stinks out the joint. But like you said, he's demotivated and just doesn't really care right now. I don't believe that he cares about whether this team wins or loses week to week. I think he knows that ultimately he's never going to get the club to pull fully in his direction. So it's just a paycheck for him now. And it's just a case of whether the club can let him see out his stint as the manager, or whether they think they need to take drastic measures and cut the cord, take the financial L and get someone else in to try and salvage the season.
I was going to say the exact same thing. He's going to see it as contract, or he's going to get sacked. One or the other.
It's a hard one. Obviously, he's uninspired by the club. He's had all these personal tragedies happen recently. It's just so hard to see. But, you know, time will tell. Guys, thank you for joining me on What's the Late Night. It's just turned midnight as well. So, obviously, really appreciate your time. I've been your host, X-Pac. Goldberg's thing. Thank you. Check out New Spurs, all the pods. We tend to record, stream either Thursday or Friday. Audio comes out on Saturday morning. Got all the other Touchline Fracker Club pods as well as the main one as well. And yeah, when you get to know, then it's great, great content. But again, take it easy, guys, and peace out.
Peace.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London. That is absolutely incredible on debut. Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.